Went out with Eddie Brent, and it was a good time that we had visiting together, but he was telling me that, he said, Pastor, I have the app, and I get on the app, and I read the Bible reading for the morning, the noon one, the evening one. I read it each day. Usually I read it all in the morning, and then throughout the day I may review it. He said, but it's a blessing. Also on that app, he said, I get audio sermons, and I listen to these sermons again. And he said, then you write a devotional every day with one of the Bible readings, and that helps me and gives me extra help and guidance in my Bible reading. And I thought, wow, that is really good. I know some of you are reading through the Bible with us. How many are doing that? Raise your hand. Amen. Look at that. And I encourage you to do that because it maximizes the effect of God's Word in your life. And the theme of this church is building lives on solid foundations. And that is in every Word Bible, this King James Bible, getting that Word of God into your life. And this message this morning comes out of that. It comes out of the Bible readings. And if you've been doing the Bible readings with us this week, you may recognize the scripture. And it's in Exodus 14, if you'll turn back there, Exodus 14. And, you know, the Bible says that the children of Israel responded to God's mighty deeds. When he did something great, they were like, hey, woo! And they responded to that. And but whenever their faith in him was tried and great things were not happening, which is a lot of life, they murmured, they complained, they threatened to leave the path of life that God had led them on. They threatened to go back to Egypt, and they cried and moaned and groaned. But Moses, their chosen leader, was said to actually know God himself. He knew, therefore, that God would, what God would do in any given situation. Do you ever know somebody so well that you pretty much know what they're going to do in different situations? And Moses was not like the children of Israel. They just knew God when he did something great. They saw it. But Moses knew God himself, and he pretty much knew what God would do before he did it. And so he didn't complain and grumble all the time when they were in difficulty. I wonder, do you know the Lord personally? Do you walk with the Lord daily? I remember when I first got saved, and then I came to Bible college, and I helped out. And once in a while, I would preach for the pastor when he wasn't here. And I remember I would just preach a little bit and sit down. I didn't have much to say. And why was that? Well, I didn't know God that well. I hadn't known him that long. And his sermon isn't just what you've studied. It's, some people say to me, how long did it take you to prepare that sermon? I say, about 40 years. About 40 years. And so what I'm saying is Moses knew God. He knew what God would do. And I wonder about you. Do you know him personally at all? And if you know him, how well do you know him? And so in Exodus 14, I want to preach this morning on purposeful principles for your life from the Word of God. Purposeful principles for your life from the Word of God. I want to look at just four of them this morning that should really help you. And the first principle is promises of God that are given for you. Promises of God that are given for you. You see, maybe you have a little silver, a little gold. I was showing somebody a gold coin. And a gold coin, which is today, let's say a gold coin, a dollar in gold. How many have ever seen a gold coin of about 1 ounce? Gold coin of 1 ounce. Do you know today, if you take a dollar bill, can one of the men tell me how many dollar bills? I'll just ask you, Luke. You probably don't know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How many dollar bills do you think would take 1 ounce of gold, about that big, just to get a gold dollar and then take paper dollars? You have no guess? How about you? Want to guess? Ah, good guess. $1,200 to $1,400 from Ben Bajeski. Bob Bajeski, his dad. Nearly how many? Yes, sir. Nearly $3,000 for 1 ounce of gold. And you know what? The promises of God in the Bible are more precious or more valuable than gold or silver. Silver is about $31 an ounce, but it could go up. But gold is, yeah, it's nearly $3,000. And the Bible says that in 2 Peter, that we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. And these promises can get you into heaven. These promises can give you a gift to live forever. You say, I don't care about that. I just care about the gold. One day after you die, you will care about that. One minute after you die, I say you'll care about that. I'm here this morning. Wake up! You need to care about your soul. And so I'm just saying that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. They're given to you, and you can benefit by them. And the Bible says that faith is true confidence in God and His Word, His promises, when you hear them. In fact, it says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, if you look at Exodus 14, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They're now in front of the Red Sea. Pharaoh is chasing them. His army is once again after them. And the Bible said that they had promises from God that God would take care of them, deliver them. They didn't have to be afraid of Pharaoh. And yet, they didn't have faith in those promises. Do you have faith in God today? Real faith? Do you have faith in the promises of God today? These people had been tested 10 times. This was the first test. And they failed the test of faith. They failed to believe that God would do for them what they could not do for themselves. I have to pick this up. I hate trash around. How about you? Do you believe God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself? That's what faith is all about. By the way, you can't save yourself, but you are invited to trust Jesus Christ, who paid something more valuable than silver and gold for our salvation, and that was His lifeblood when He died on the cross. God said, I'll accept the blood as the payment for your sin. And so He died once and shed His blood once. And when you trust Jesus Christ, you are saved once for all. Have you trusted Him by faith to save you, to do for you what you can't do for yourself? And if you do that, not only will you go to heaven, but listen to me, you receive a new nature. You receive the divine nature. So you don't live in this world by lust. You know what people are doing today? They're living their life by lust. You know what lust is? Well, I said I do to my wife, but I see somebody else. I'm lusting for her, so I'll go after her. I shouldn't be lusting after booze, but I'm lusting after booze, or I'm lusting after drugs, or I'm lusting. It's living by lust. Oh, I should turn off my computer and listen to the pastor, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live by my lust. When I got saved, my friend, I didn't just get a home in heaven. I got a new nature so that I don't live my life by lust. Because that'll lead you into hell, and it will lead you into hell on earth. You don't believe me? You'll find out. You'll suck sorrow. These promises of God are given to you as precious, and you can live by faith if you have God in your life. And by the way, Stephen, the Bible says the deacon Stephen, he was filled with faith and with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not walking by faith, you're walking by your feelings, by your flesh, and you're an idiot. Because that'll mislead you. Faith leads you to live a life you can't live except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was a man, you know, the Bible says you're continually to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be saying, God, what did you say? What do you want? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do what your word says. Even if it seems stupid, I'm going to do it. I'm a fool for Christ. And that's how you are filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what were the Israelites? They saw the Red Sea. Then they saw Pharaoh coming after them. What did they say? Were they filled with faith in the Holy Spirit? They said this to Moses, "For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." Exodus 14 and verse 12. See, they didn't have faith in God. They saw the Egyptians and they saw themselves as being killed, and that was it. But what did Moses say? I'm going to read Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Listen what it says here. Verse 13 says this. He says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." You know what? I believe America, as we know it, was just about done. And at the last moment in 2016, God raised up a man. I didn't expect this man would do anything good for America. I didn't. Did you? When he first? No. But God raised him up. And I recognized it. In 2016, I got a clue. And I began to get into the Word of God and pray. And I preached some messages. And I did what Moses said here. Moses said, hush up, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. God's gonna deliver you. And I began to preach, and any of you remember that? Raise your hand if you do. I preached back then in 2016. Stand still. God's going to bring this man in. He's a Cyrus figure. He's going to be used of God. And I preached a whole message on that. I remember doing it about October of that year. And in November, Donald John Trump was elected. They fought him. They tried to impeach him. They tried to lie about him, Russian collusion. They just kept attacking and attacking and attacking. And throughout his term, they did that. And then I said in 2020, trust God. A Wuhan virus was released, which I believe was the globalist enemy trying to destroy America. Make no mistake about it. It was started in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, moved to Wuhan, China, and released. Investigate Anthony Fauci. Investigate Bill Gates. Investigate these people. And it'll happen. It'll happen, by the way. It'll happen. And I'm just saying that in 2020, I said God will take care. And then the election, in my humble opinion, was stolen. I don't believe Joe Biden got more votes than any other president in history of America, including Barack Obama. I don't believe it. Sitting in his basement. No, they cheated. And I want to say to you that even then, I remember hearing this scripture and sharing it with the church. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Jesus said this, "Have faith in God." Get some promises from God and put your faith in them. And then it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Notice it says, "which he saith." I didn't just believe those promises. I went on record and said them. I had people tell me, "You better watch out. Because if it doesn't come to pass, you know, you got people praying and believing God for this." And 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by. Bobby, you remember this. We prayed and had fasting on Mondays. every Monday after that 2020 stolen election. And we said, God, we're believing. Move that mountain into the sea. Give that back to the president who's the real president. Lord, move it into the sea. We're not doubting in our heart. We're praying. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And week went by and week went by. And still Biden was in the Oval Office. And we said, I didn't call him President Biden. I know he was sworn in as a president. I acknowledge that. But I'm just saying to you, he was still in the Oval Office. And it came to the point where I said, we don't have to pray anymore. Let's just say God has heard our prayer. Amen. We're not going to meet on Mondays anymore. God has heard our prayer. And you know what? It took 4 years. But in 2024, God moved that mountain. He answered that prayer. Are you living your life filled with the Spirit of God, or are you living it by your own lust and your own desires? Are you living your life by what the Word of God says? By faith in the promises of God? If you're not, my friend, you're on the wrong road. You're doing the wrong thing. And today God says the first principle is live by the promises of God that are given for your benefit. And God will bless your life. And that's what Moses told them. He said, listen, you stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. But I want you to notice a second thing that you need to have, and that is progress, for God commands to you. Look at verse 15 of Exodus 14. I'll read it. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Moses was told by God, they're crying to me, but you tell them I want them to go forward. Well, there's a problem with that. If they go forward, there's a Red Sea in front of them. And so how do they go forward? But God says, go forward. You know what? I thank God for people that go forward in this church to tell people about Jesus Christ. My wife and my daughter, Mindy and Eli and Noah, they went out this past week to tell people about Jesus Christ. And they went into a particular building, and some guy screamed at him, you can't be in this building. And they said, well, we have our constitutional right, our constitutional liberty. And then some woman came out, ah, ah, ah. She's screaming, she's a manager, we have our constitutional right, our constitutional liberty. And they went on to hand out tracts and do, but then my wife realized, well, I have students here, so it's school time, so I don't want to, we'll go somewhere else. And she did. But she kept going forward. And thank God for those in this church that they keep going forward to tell people how to get saved by Jesus Christ. And some of you are here today because somebody went forward and they invited you to be saved by Jesus, invited you to come to church. And then we go forward. Once we get saved, we get baptized. I know there's somebody here today that a couple weeks ago trusted the Lord in Children's Church as Savior and is now coming to get baptized. Amen. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's very important to go forward in your Christian life. And it only counts after you're saved. Just like my wedding ring only counts because I'm married to my wife. I could put a wedding ring on a baby, and that's not going to marry that baby. A baby isn't to be baptized. I was baptized a baby, but it didn't count. You need to get baptized after you understand and believe and are born again. And thank God for those that are going forward doing that. And then the Bible says once you do that, you need to go out and tell others and take people with you. I led a guy to the Lord named Eddie Brent, and he said, Pastor, I love going out with you. And we went out last Thursday night to go soul winning together. And what a blessing that is. There's a guy named Thomas. He was in my Sunday school. Thomas, I don't know if he's here, but Thomas went with me, and we went out soul winning after he trusted the Lord and got baptized. Are you going forward with the Lord? He wants you and I to go forward. He wants us to march. And that's what God said. Progress for God is commanded to you. You say, well, Pastor, I would make progress for God, but there's all these problems in my way that hold me up. Well, look what it says in verse 16 of Exodus 14. I'll read it. And it says, but lift thou up thy rod, he's saying this to Moses, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've got me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. In other words, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, the Bible says, lo, I am with you. That doesn't mean if I don't fly in an airplane, God will be with me. I know we've had some dangerous things happen in airplanes lately. And you know, that doesn't mean if you don't fly in an airplane, if you go low in a car, God will be with you. Lo, I'm with you always. No, what does low mean? If you read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it means if you are going out and telling people the good news about Jesus Christ, if you are baptizing those that believe and get saved, if you are then leading them to go out and tell others, guess what? The Lord says, I am with you. I am going to help you. And God said to Moses, I know you got a problem. You got the Red Sea in front of you. I know you got a problem. You got Pharaoh behind you. You seem like you got no place to go. But I want you to go forward. How? Lift up your rod. I'll split the sea. You know what? If you step out in faith, listen, and you do what God wants you to do, God will make a way for you. He'll do it many times at the last minute. He'll do it one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But a second principle is not only live by the promises of God, but listen to me, progress for God is commanded in your life. That is commanded. And you know what? I do appreciate God giving us President Trump. But if he would have said, oh, I got too many problems. I mean, they tried to put me in jail. I mean, they tried to take my money. I mean, they tried to lie about me. I mean that they are doing everything they can do, including they tried to take my life in Butler, Pennsylvania, and another time on a golf course, and however many other times. If he would have said, that is enough. I'm not going to keep going forward with this. Then it would never have worked. And you know what? When Moses lifted up his rod and was willing to go forward when God spoke to him, God split that whole Red Sea. It just split on the right and on the left, and the children of Israel went in there. I don't know about you, but I told people, I said, God is going to hear our prayers in 2024. He's going to get in. God's going to get him in. And amazingly, he got elected. In fact, I believe I had faith. And so Donald Trump's campaign asked me to lead at the rally. I met with the president. I talked to him and prayed for his rally. God had that happen. That's God. I'm just saying there that when Moses went into the Red Sea and God split the sea, that was like him getting in after an impossible situation. And he got in and got in. It was too big to rig, my friend. And when they still tried to rig it, they had people from the Laura Trump and so forth with lawyers went in and they stopped the rigging and he got in. My friend, I'm saying to you, that wasn't done by the power of human beings. That was done ultimately by the power of God. And I'm just saying that you need to determine, I am going to make progress. You say, why are you so excited about Donald Trump getting in? Because I want to have peace and liberty and freedom to worship God according to my conscience. And if this guy would have got in one more time, it would have been over. They were taking it away. They put me in jail for doing what I'm doing now. And I'd be willing to do that, but I'd rather for my children and my grandchildren they have what I have, freedom. And so we prayed, and we stood up and spoke the truth. And I'm just saying, now we are planning to go forward. Our church is planning to go forward. We want to have more buses, amen, 3 buses next week, running into Wilkes-Barre, going up to Carbondale. We want to eventually go to Tunkhannock in Moscow. Why? Because people need the gospel. We want more soul winners out. We had 25 out on Thursday, but we want more recruits to be trained. And I challenge you to go forward and keep making progress, even if you can't see how God will make a way for you to get somebody. Do it by faith. And we want to go forward to have, we have 11 Sunday school classes. We want to have 20 Sunday school. I invite you to come out to Sunday school. And then to become a teacher. Because if you become a teacher, you're going to learn more than the students do. I'm just saying that a second purposeful principle is not only God's promises, but progress for you to do what God commanded and progress forward. Thirdly, I want to look at a third principle, and that's in verses 19 and 20. Let's look at the narrative. Here's what it says. 19 of chapter 14 says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other." You see, this light was a pillar of cloud, and at night it led Israel, so they knew where to go in their night travels. How many of you would travel down a highway if you didn't have headlights on the car on? You would. Oh boy. There's always one. I blink for guys like that. Amen? But you shouldn't. And God knew that they needed light. So he had a pillar of fire. And it warmed them at night. And it gave them a light to know which way to go. And during the day it was a pillar of cloud so they could see the glory of God. And he led them. And when it stopped, they stopped. You know what? Jesus is that light for us. The Bible says that Jesus is the way. Yes. He's the way to heaven. Yes. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father." At Reuben's funeral, I said, I use a GPS an awful lot. How many of you use a GPS? Yeah, you're getting dependent on it, aren't you? But you know what? Jesus is our GPS. You don't have to know exactly the way to get to heaven, because he is the way. And just put your faith in Jesus. He'll get you there. I know I'm going because I put my faith in the Lord to take care of my sins and take me to heaven. He is the way. And he also is the way in your life through the wilderness, because you need guidance, right? Jesus will guide you by his Spirit through his Word. If you follow his Word, you're following your lust today, you're in trouble. You're not following the right way. He'll lead you according to the moral law of God. What's that? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and so forth. Now you want to go against that. You're not going by the leading of the way. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right. I'll lead you in the way through this wilderness. Now, if you don't love him, then you don't love his word here. You say, that's right, I love this or that or the other thing. Well, I'm just saying to you this morning, I am here not to preach what you may want me to preach, but what the Word of God says. Because Jesus is the way through the wilderness. Jesus is the way to heaven. But I want to say a third thing, a third principle tonight. And by the way, if you're living with somebody in fornication and you're not married to them, you're not right with God. And you're in trouble. Because the Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But I'm not just saying to you that Jesus is the way, but he is in the way of anybody that would try to get a child of God who's following Jesus. He's in the way. And what happened here? The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that was leading the Israelites, when they got into the Red Sea and the sea opened up and they're marching in, guess what? Pharaoh said, oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. And he went in after them. He went in after them to get them. And when he went in after them to get them, he was closing in on them because he had horses and chariots and they were just walking. They had families and all of that. And so, man, he was going to overtake them if they did not have somebody in the way. But guess who was in the way? God moved the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud behind them. And do you know what? When you follow Jesus, God's got your back. And the light shined forward for Israel from behind so they could go forward. But guess what? The dark side of the pillar was for the Egyptians so they couldn't see. God was in the way. The Lord was in the way. He's in the way. I remember going to New York City as a young man, about 19. And I remember giving the gospel in the tough part of New York City. I think it was called the Bowery back then. It was a tough area. And I remember being there and I was preaching in a particular place there. And then I was giving the gospel. And a guy told me later on, he was standing by me. He said, you're just like a little lamb out here in the midst of the city. I said, what are you talking about? He said, don't you even know what went on while you were telling that person about Jesus? I said, no, what went on? He said, the guy behind you drew a K5 blade on your back. And he looked at me, should I slice him? And I said, and that guy didn't slice you. And I said, well, thank you, but the reason why that guy didn't slice me is God was watching out for me. And you know what? That's the truth. God has got your back. When Donald Trump had a rifle aimed at him, I believe by the operatives of the deep state, it'll come out. It'll come out.
That's right.
It'll come out. What did he do? He turned his head. He turned his head. You say, Pastor, I don't like that. You talk about Donald Trump. I don't like Donald Trump. Well, maybe you got Trump derangement syndrome. Do you know what Pharaoh had? Pharaoh had Israelite derangement syndrome. He was so stupid. He was so stupid. Pharaoh, I'm talking about. He couldn't stop following even when Israel went into the Red Sea. Don't you get a clue that God is luring you in? When you keep fighting somebody that God is helping, you better get a clue because you're going to get yourself in a trap. God's trap. Come on in. Come on in. At some point, stop. At some point, put the brakes on. Now, they did have the wheels come off their chariots, and then they got the clue, hey, maybe God is fighting for them. How about with 10 plagues upon Egypt? How about when their oldest child was killed in the Passover? How about all of these things that happened in Egypt, and you keep hardening your heart? How long are you going to harden your heart until you get caught in your sin and you keep fighting what I'm preaching to you?
Amen.
And you're blaming me. It's not me, it's God.
Right.
You've got Randy derangement syndrome. And you're dumb. Because I'm just here because God's got me here.
Amen.
That's all. You're fighting a man, but you're fighting God. You say, what do I do, Pastor? You get right with God. You repent and say, I'm going the wrong way. Let me turn around. Now, it was too late for these Egyptians. Once they got snookered and they got into that sea, God said, I got you right where I want you. I got you right where I want you. And that brings me to the last point. And the last principle is the power of God demonstrated for you. The promises of God are given to you to live by. Progress for God is commanded for you. Keep going forward. Protection is provided. but the power of God will be demonstrated. And I want you to see, first of all, in Exodus 14, 21 through 23, I'll just read that. It says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." You know what? That 2024 election was God answering our prayer so you and I can go forward and do what God wants us to do in a free country. Thank God for that. And that was for us. So let's take advantage of it. Let's do what God wants us to do. Get saved if God has told you you need to be saved. Get baptized if you haven't been baptized. Don't wait. Do it today. Get involved in God's work. I'm just saying this is what God wants us to do because he's opened the door and he's let Trump get in there, and what a blessing that is. But what happened? God opened the door for Israel and Moses, and they went into the Red Sea. And what happened? Pharaoh and his host, they went into. They said, "We're going to get him. We're going to get him." Let me tell you something. Even though Donald Trump is the president, even though he's made all these appointments, there are people that are in key places that are fighting against his administration. Have you ever heard of John Brennan, head of the CIA? By the way, in just a few days, Donald Trump is going to release who killed Kennedy. And I'll tell you ahead of time, you're going to hear it was Lyndon Baines Johnson. I already know. He ordered the CIA to do it. You'll hear about it. You just have a few days to find out if I'm telling you the truth. But I am telling you the truth. Trump knew about it. He was going to release it in his first term. And Mike Pompeo said to him, "No, don't do that." They talked him out of it. He's not being talked out of it anymore. It's all coming out. And so John Brennan is the head of the CIA. He was. He's now, quote unquote, supposed to be retired. Friends, he's not retired. He is in the CIA, behind the scenes, backbiting. It's just like in a church when somebody gets in and backbites what the preacher's trying to do. God sees that. God sees what Brennan's doing. And he sees what Obama is doing. Obama is still in there. And you mark my words, sometime, I'm not going to give you a time for this one. It may take a while. But he's going to be ripped of his presidency, stripped of his presidency, and he's going to answer for his crimes. Bill Gates, Soros just bought a bunch of radio stations. You know who these guys are? They're people that are desperate because they know it's all coming to light. And they know they're going to get it. So they're committed to keep fighting. Well, guess what? I'm committed to keep preaching. I'm committed to keep going forward with God. And I'm just saying to you that when these Egyptians went in, they should have got a clue. It was too late. I remember some people were pursuing me and they just wanted to get me out of the pulpit. And they got me out of the pulpit in 2017 for a little while. And I remember that. And I remember I prayed, "God, take the wheels off the chariots of these Egyptians that are trying to stop our ministry here." And I remember the day I went to court. I finally got a chance to go to court to represent myself. And we won in court that day. We won. The judge knew the lies. And the judge got it. But that morning, I said, "God, what are you doing great? Where are the wheels off the chariot?" And that night he reminded me that the solicitor that was fighting against us, the wheel came off his car. And he was late getting there. And I was like, "Wow, God, you're still doing things like that." And I'm here to tell you, God is real. He is still the living God. And he will, by his power, demonstrate for you that he is God. And I want to tell you ahead of time that I don't just believe that God gave us a president to defend our freedom by letting him get elected, but now they're going to keep pursuing him. Watch it. They're doing it. Watch these plane things that are going on. I'm not saying that's something to be investigated. But I know this, they're pursuing him. And I know God's ways, and I'm telling you, the Red Sea is going to come down on them. You say, what Red Sea? The justice of God. But Israel went through on dry ground. And you have the opportunity to be in a place of protection. But listen, I would repent. If I'm not living by faith, I would repent this morning and live by the promises of God. I would then make progress to do what God wants me to do for my life. And I would depend upon his protection and also know that he will show up and demonstrate his power. What a God we have. Thank God for that. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning, every eye closed.